preach after dad jokes, man. If you're a father, please stand. If you're a father, please stand. Happy Father's Day, guys. You may be seated. I forgot to mention, we also want to pray for the Dolmage family. Brother Joe Dolmage's brother passed away this week. And so please pray for Brother Joe and his family. And I know you will. And just don't forget to love on them. And I'm sure they could use the encouragement today. And all right, please open your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 15. The book of Luke, chapter 15. As you're finding that portion of God's Word, a couple funny things. It says, a small boy's definition of Father's Day, he says, it's just like Mother's Day, only you don't spend as much. Yeah, park there a while. Definition of a father. A father is a man who carries pictures in his wallet where his money used to be. Can I get a witness in the building? Paul Harvey's definition of a father. A father is a thing that is forced, oh Lord, this could get me in trouble big time. A father is a thing that is forced to endure childbirth without an anesthetic. A father never feels worthy of the worship in his child's eyes. He's never quite the hero his daughter thinks. He's never quite the man his son believes him to be, and this worries him sometimes. So he works too hard to try and smooth out the rough places in the road for those of his own who will follow him. Fathers are what give daughters away to other men who aren't nearly good enough so they can have grandchildren who are smarter than anybody's. Fathers make bets with the insurance companies about who lived the longest. One day they lose and the bet's paid off to the part of them they leave behind. Let's see, what's some other ones here? I like this little one here. It says, Mommy, if the stork brings us babies, and Santa Claus brings us presents, and the Lord gives us our daily bread, and Uncle Sam provides us with Social Security, why do we keep Daddy around? Happy Father's Day, guys. I will tell you, one of the greatest joys, and I sincerely mean this, one of the greatest joys I have is being a dad. I sincerely mean that. And you know my story growing up, and I remember long before I was ever married. I think I was around 16 years old. I got saved when I was 16, but shortly thereafter, my pastor taught me the value of having a prayer life and having prayer journals and praying for things. And I can remember like it was yesterday, sitting at the kitchen table there in Claryville, Kentucky, and I remember praying to the Lord. It was late at night. And just talking and praying for children that I hope to one day have. And God blessed me with that. God blessed Leslie and I with three wonderful children. He's actually saw fit to give us three more. We're humbled by that. We are truly humbled by that. I told you several years ago, my wife, I'm telling you, she should have been blessed with 100 children. I'm telling you, she has the patience of Job. When it comes to children, when it comes to working with children. And she says to me several years ago, she goes, babe, she said, our kids are getting older, which is synonymous with more expensive. You know that, right? The older they get, the more expensive they get. If your child lives with you and you have to pay car insurance, don't be surprised if I get a Toledo, Ohio mailing address. A lot cheaper in Ohio. But She goes, babe, our kids are getting older. She said, we ought to consider foster care. And I promise you, very spiritually, very loving, very empathetic, I looked at her and I said these words, and I quote, have you lost your mind? That's exactly what, have you lost your mind? Well, you want us to have more children? Have you lost your mind? So I got her a dog. Didn't suffice. So then God saw fit to give us three more children. And we're humbled. We're blessed by that. And we now have a 12-year-old on top of a 22, a 19, a 17. We now have a 12, a 9, and a 7. And the other night, you may have saw on Facebook, a little Trey was over at, as he calls them, the Bruja's house. playing on over in the Bruges, Brother Ryan Bruges and his family. He goes over and plays with the boys. And Leslie hollers out the window. She goes, "Trey, come on home, honey. We got to get you ready for bed." Well, what you don't know is Trey absolutely, and this is really kind of strange to us because we're not used to this. Trey absolutely loves to take baths. He loves to take baths. So he comes, and Leslie watches all this unfold. He leaves the Bruges' backyard. He comes, and I promise you, she'll validate it. He stops. He sees like a mud pile. He stops, Mike. He reaches down. He grabs the mud. She's watching all this. He rubs it all over his arms. He sets down in it like a dog and drags his bottom across the mud pile. And I promise you, he comes in the door and he looks at Leslie. He goes, "Ooh, I'm filthy. I need a bath." She goes, "You're not getting a bath. I just watched you do this." And he just kind of looked at her and he smiled really big. And he come and he talked to me. But, oh my goodness, we're having fun. I'm telling you, we're having fun. He told Emily the other day, he goes, "I want to be president." They were sitting at a dinner table. He goes, "I want to become president." And Emily looked at him. And Emily, the very, you know, very deep, you know, straightforward, you know, just tells it like it is. And she looks at him. She goes, "You want to be president?" And he goes, "Yeah." He said, "I want to be president." She goes, "Well," she goes, "you got to be kind. You got to be nice to people. You got to get people to vote for you. You got to be in your 30s. And he stops her and he goes, "I'm just a kid, Emily. I'm just a kid." So he wants to be president. So we're learning a lot as a dad, you know, as a father, as parents. And it's truly a joy. Now, let me just say something. We live in a culture, and this is sad, but we live in a culture that really, truly tries to downplay, and very intentionally, they try to downplay the importance of a father. Let me tell you on the authority of the Word of God, you're very important. What you do as a dad matters. I promise you it matters. Your children, you say, "Pastor, sometimes I feel like I'm just not, I just don't feel like I have it all together." Listen, stand in line. We all come through times like that. We all come through times like, you know, am I making a difference? Am I impacting their life? Here's something I hope to encourage everyone in this room. You know this, and this to be true, that parenting, it's more caught than it is taught. You know that, right? It's more caught than it is taught. Many of you that are in this room, you are what is often referred to as a stepfather, a stepdad. I saw this, Leslie saw this not too long ago, and I thought, that is so cool, and I couldn't wait to use it for Father's Day. Rather than calling yourself a stepdad, maybe the better way of saying it would be, you're a dad that stepped up. You're a dad that stepped up. You're not a stepmom. You're a mom who stepped up. You know, in the context of this, think about this as well. God in his infinite wisdom, saw fit to place children in your life. Literally, the Bible calls children. Now, think about this. Think about the sacredness of a child. Think about how special they are. The Bible says, God says of children that they're a heritage of the Lord. And that word heritage literally means a gift of Jehovah. That's what they are. They're gifts of Jehovah. Parenting is more caught than it is taught. You know, I can illustrate it. You remember when your children were small? You remember when your children were young? And it was not uncommon to, without even being, pushed to do it, it was not uncommon to see, you know, your little son or your daughter run over, and when they could barely walk, and maybe had work boots or shoes, you know, your work shoes, it was not uncommon to see them put them on and try to walk across the living room. Why is that? Because they're seeing what you do. And let me also say that. They're watching what you do. They're watching how you conduct yourself. They're watching how you lead. You do know this, and not to be redundant or repetitive, you do know that all fathers lead. You know that, right? All fathers lead. Some lead well, some not so well. But all fathers lead. You also know this, and I'm going to encourage you with this. No matter what you've done, no matter, you say, "Pastor, yeah, but what you don't get is I've made a lot of mistakes in my life." That's what grace and mercy are for. We often make mistakes. But we have a God. If we have Christ as our Savior, we have a God that, get this, He loves us unconditionally. He cares about us deeply. He loves us so much, and that's Him calling right now. Special Days and I, we have a history together. Special Days here at Emmanuel. And I'm going to do my best to behave. It just hits my brain, Brendan. It just comes out before I can grab it. And it's awful. And the damage is already done. And then it makes the Facebook. And then people call their family. They're like, you ain't going to believe it. Pastor called somebody autistic today in the pulpit. And it's awful. It's just so bad. That happened last week. And I'll be honest with you. When I was reading the little kindergartner's little sheets. And man, I was so excited. I was so proud of myself. And I'd rehearsed it and I'd gone through it. And, you know, I'm telling you, it said Armada. It didn't say Amanda, but it said Armada. And did you notice I argued with the mom about it? I'm like, it's Armada, it's Armanda, it's Armada. You know, I'm arguing with the mom who's filming the precious little child, kindergartner, that will be played at her graduation, that'll be played at her wedding, and the pastor's arguing over the kindergartner, what school she goes to. But that, I'm telling you, God allows this. It's amazing how the Lord does this. But yeah, so I was so excited. I was reading all these little precious little things about the child, and I was so excited because it said, and my wife wrote it. My wife wrote it, and she has the fancy handwriting, and it said artistic. And I'd rehearse that. It didn't say see, I almost said it again. Artistic. It said, and I was like, she's extremely, and I said it with so much exhilaration and so much excitement. And this precious little daughter, little granddaughter of Tom and Kathy Samuels, who it's on videotape now, and I had to go give them $10,000 so it doesn't wind up America's Funniest Home Videos. But anyway, I said, she is extremely autistic. And I said it just like that. Well, what you didn't see is Buttercup is over here, right? Les is over here, and she's going, correct it, correct it, correct it, correct it, correct it. That's what she's saying. You can't hear that. So I made sure I corrected. Of course, the church did a gasp. They're like, you know. And I'm like, wait a minute. Artistic. And I was like, and then Larry Harriman passed out laughing, and his head got red. I mean, I started to say forehead, but it's too big to be a forehead. It's five head, but I'm not going to say that because I love Larry. See, it's a special day. I'm telling you, I struggle. Luke 15, please stand in honor and reverence to the reading of the Word of God. We're going to look at this text, and I'll be honest, in Scripture, the dad we're going to look at today is one of the greatest dads in the Bible. He's a loving dad. He's a leading father. He leads by example. He's a provider. He provides physical. He provides spiritually for his kids. You know the story. The young son comes to his dad and he makes a statement. Dad, give me. Give me the portion. Give me my inheritance, is what he's saying. So his dad divides up his living. Now, for a young son to say that to a father in Jewish custom is basically like saying, I could care less if you're dead, dude. So he gives him. The son goes off, and we don't know how long it lasted, but the son goes off into the world. The Bible tells us he wastes his substance with riotous living. He spends all. No man gave to him. He's working as a hog farmer, working for a hog farmer. He's no doubt slopping the hogs. The Bible tells us he would have fain filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. The Bible says he comes to himself. He begins to rehearse in his mind what he had before he left home. What he had in his father's house. You see, often what we can do if we're not careful, this is a good word, we can fail to really understand what we have until it's gone. A preacher preached the message, you don't miss the water till the well runs dry. And that's often the case. And that's basically was the MO of this young man. But we fast forward in the text. Verse 18 of Luke 15, the young man, then he comes to himself in verse 17. You remember what he had said earlier to his father, Father, give me a spirit of entitlement. Man, if we've ever lived in a culture of entitlement, it's today. People think they're owed something. People, children, they think they're owed something. Listen, chances are as parents we had you to be television changers and peanut butter sandwich and milk getters. That's what we had you. It's Father's Day. Be nice. Look at this. Verse 18, so he comes to himself in verse 17. Verse 18, he says, I'll arise and will go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But now notice his conversation. Earlier, the spirit of entitlement said, Father, give me. But now the world has beat on him, and the world has left its scars on him, and now his tune has changed. Rather than saying, Father, give me, he now is going to say to his dad, Father, make me. Make me. Verse 19. As one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but I like when the father butts in. I do. He says, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion on him and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said, notice this. You see, the father and the son, they had just embraced. The dad, the Jewish father, it would have been an embarrassment for the father, but he did it anyway because love often will do that. Listen, love will often risk embarrassment. And that's what he does. The father would have raised the cloak of his gown and he would have had to expose his legs, and that would have been kind of it would have been an embarrassment. But love, ladies and gentlemen, could care less. Love will risk all. Love will risk embarrassment. Love will sacrifice. And that's what this father does. He runs and he hugs him and he falls on his neck and he kisses his boy. And his son begins to say, Father, please forgive me. I've sinned against you. I've sinned against heaven. I'm no worthy. And then all of a sudden the father then changes his focus and he turns to the servant. And look at this. This is awesome, man. Verse 21, the son says, I'm no more worthy be called thy son. But the father said to his servant, bring forth the best robe. Not just any robe. The best robe. And put it on him. Put a ring on his hand. Shoes on his feet. What was significant about that? Ring of ownership. This isn't just any boy. This is my boy. This isn't just any son. This is my son. He belongs to me. And it's time to celebrate. Bring hither the fatted calf. I'm glad his dad wasn't a vegetarian. I'm glad his dad wasn't on the keto diet. Sorry, I got to be nice. It's Father's Day. No, you can have meat on the keto diet. You can eat bacon at midnight on the keto diet, actually. And kill it and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Father, we love you. We ask your blessing on the reading of your word. Dear God, as we see this text today, Lord, really it is a picture of who you are. This story, really, honestly, God, and I know often we say the story of the prodigal son, but God, in essence, it's really the story of a loving and gracious and forgiving Father. And God, when we look at our Bible, that's what you are, and that's who you are. Help us, God, today to be fathers that are more like you in the way we have relationships with our kids. We love you, Lord. Father, please help us to love you more. In Jesus' name I pray, and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We see a few things under a biblical example of a father. That's a thought of the day. A biblical example of a father. You see, if God has blessed you with children, whether that be through birth or whether that be through the adoption process, Took little Emily to the urgent care yesterday with her asthma. She has bad asthma. So I took her. She's doing okay. Lungs are fine. It was just me and her. 10 years old. Precious little girl. Sassy little girl. Oh my. The first couple of days, we met them. You know the story. We met them in Kentucky when we were trying to get them to foster. Started on April 24th to try to get the children. The day they went in the foster in Kentucky, it took us 6 months to actually get them. Jumped through all the hoops. The first day, we went down and drove all the way 7.5 hours. We spent 2 hours, babe. 2 hours with them. The big Rev was on the playground. The big Rev was on the heavy duty slides and this and that. Basketball. Right, Wyatt? Played basketball. He whooped me then. So bad. I'm going to get you out here, buddy. We're going to take care of that. Spent a couple hours with the kids. Man, we had a good time. Went to Chinese restaurant. We had a good time. Came home, went down a week or two later, spent a couple days with them. Never will forget. The caseworker pulls up, says to Emily, Wyatt, and Atreyu, he says, hey, okay, you guys going in the hotel just for a minute? I'm going to talk to your aunt and uncle. And so the caseworker looks right at me. She goes, oh, Mr. Harold, she said, Emily's a pistol. She goes, and she is, ain't she, Wyatt? Emily is sassy. And I was like, oh, yeah. And she goes, let me tell you how sassy. She said, I picked the kids up from school, and it was about a 45-minute drive to get them to where we were going to meet. And she said, Emily's in the back. She's 9 years old at the time. She's 9 years old. She's in the back, and she's going to the caseworker. You trying to starve the foster kids? She yells us from the back seat. We're starving to death. You trying to starve the foster kids? And, of course, the caseworker's like, honey, I don't have any money on me. I would run you through McDonald's. And just so many funny, funny things. But as we left yesterday, we left the doctor's office. We were driving. And I said to her, I said, hey, honey, I said, I sure hope I said, you know that me and Aunt Leslie really love you. She goes, I know Uncle Tracy. I said, we really do. And I said, what do you feel about us adopting you? Without hesitation. She goes, I'm excited about it, Uncle Tracy. I said, well, honey, I said, what are you excited about? And she said, everything. And I say that today not for emotion purpose. I say that today when I think about my Lord. We have been adopted. Every one of us that are born again. We have been adopted into the family of God. He set his love on us. He set his affection on us. In the moment we repented of our sin and we called upon Christ to be our Savior, believing in his death, his burial, his resurrection, God not only forgave us of he forgave us of all of our sins, he loved us enough to place us in a family that shows love, a family that shows encouragement, a family that fleshes out. God's family is an amazing family. A family that loves unconditionally, a family that should be and is and often is very well at forgiving each other. And we're delighted. We're having a ball, man. Our home, it's crazy, it's fun. But we see this Father, we see him leading, we see he lead by example. We know the text, and I'm not going to keep you long today because it's Father's Day. And we get to be spoiled today. He leads by example. We know this man has a prominent position. We know this man has... I mean, no doubt he must have wealth because he has servants. But what this man also has, you see, he leads by example. And you say, what do you mean by he leads by example, preacher? He's going to lead by example of what it means to no doubt provide for his family. But he's going to lead by example of fleshing out what it means to be compassionate. You see, what is compassion? You'll hear people give definitions of compassion, that compassion is love. And they're not wrong, but we have to expound a little further to really grasp what compassion is. Compassion is not just love, friend. Compassion is love enough to help. It's love enough to step in and really help someone, you know, that you can meet a need for. We are honored and tickled to death to have the three kids in our home. Matter of fact, we'll give you Toby and Cameron. Anybody wants them? We'll raise money for the building program. I'm telling you, I think we can. No, I love all my kids. Compassion is love enough to help. Now, you got to get a hold of this as well. The Bible says when the young man, he's on his journey home, and as he comes home, the Bible tells us that his father sees him. A great way off, his father sees him, which really kind of indicates that his dad had to be looking for him, right? If his father sees him a great way off, then can you imagine the dad? You see, here we're talking about a father. We're talking about a father that's leading by example. He leads by example. He fleshes out for his sons. He fleshes out for his servants. He fleshes out, no doubt, perhaps if he's married, he's fleshing it out for his wife of what it means to show compassion to your children. Because, ladies and gentlemen, let's just be quite honest. If we can just be transparent, if we can just be vulnerable for a minute, being a parent isn't easy. Amen, preacher. Park there for about 20 minutes. Let me help you, church. Being a parent isn't easy. Can I get a witness in the building? Because what will happen is a child a child will press every button that you have. And you also know that children, what they often do, they live by. It's a phenomenal military strategy. They're expert little soldiers. And they live by the motto of divide and conquer. That's why they'll go to mom and say, Mom, can I do such and such, such and such? And mom says no. So then they come to Big Softy, the big rep. And we learned years ago, and then, because a lot of times what would happen, they would come to me and I'm like, sure, no problem, great, have a great time, here's $10. Yeah. And then Mama Grizzly Bear comes in. What did you say to the children? My wife loves when I imitate her. And then I'm like, I told them, great, have a good time, here's $10. Well, I told them no. Oh. So now the little gift of Jehovah, sorry, I had to think about that one. The little heritage, right, has divided and conquered the home. So here's what we've done. So now, when the precious little, soldiers, monsters, gift of Jehovah, that's what I meant to say, the precious little gifts, when they come in, they're like, hey, Dad, can I do such and such? I might go talk to Mom. Or I'll make certain that before I say yes, I make certain that Buttercup hasn't told them no. Finally, it got so bad one time when my boys were younger, and they were aggravating each other. And I learned this from Brother Tommy Noel, who needs to write a book. I'm telling you, he does. And I learned this from Brother Tommy. I finally got the boys. I said, fellas, come here. They were younger. I said, my two boys. I said, Cameron and Tobias, come here. I said, see that woman in there? Yeah. I said, who is that in there? They're like, that's Mom. I said, no, it ain't. You said, preachers, there's something you know? I said, no, just stay with me. I said, that's my wife. I said, so fellas, I said, let me explain how this works. I said, you make her mad? You make me mad. Got it? Yeah, we on the same page? Yep, got it, Dad. So now here they are years later, and we know this now. And he said, Pastor, where are you going with this? In the context of of kids, parenting isn't easy. It isn't, but it is worth it. I know you know this. If you're a kid in here, just kind of close your ears off for a minute. Do you know what? Those precious little gifts, they can make you cry. It's awful. I'm telling you. I never understood it growing up when my little grandmother would look at me and say something like this. This is going to hurt me far worse than this is going to hurt you, as she's holding a switch in her hand. And I used to think when I was a kid, well, give me that switch, honey. I want to take that pain off of you. Right? Well, by all means, I don't want to inflict any turmoil in your life. Let me have that switch. But I understand it now. I understand it now. So that's why I let Mama Grizzly Bear whip them. No, I'm just kidding. We don't whip them. CPS, DHS, DHHS, we don't whip our children. We rub the skin off their nose, stand against the wall, but we don't whip them. We don't even do that. Just joke. It's a joke. Laugh. He leads by example. He leads by example. He shows compassion. Also, why did he run? He ran because had the law got to his boy before compassion did, that boy would have been a pile of rocks. They would have killed that boy. So he ran. Love had to get to him before the law did. A dad, we see he leads by example when it comes to compassion. We see he leads by example when it comes to providing for him physically. I told my boys not too long ago, I said, I've been a pastor for many years. I said, to be honest with you, I said, the hardest person I ever pastor in my ministry is a man that won't work. I'm just being honest. A man that won't provide for his family. A man that won't provide for his home. Man, I have a hard time with that. But you know what? When I study the Bible does as well. The Bible says, the principle that's taught, man that won't work shouldn't eat. He's denied the faith. He's worse than an infidel. That's what the Bible says. So, to the men that are in this room that work hard, I commend you. Now, we also know there are times, and I'm not talking about working that you have to, by the sweat of your brow, and that you got to break your back and all that kind of stuff. Some of you can't do the physical, right? You can't do so. There's many of you in this room, you can't do that part of it. But you do other things. You work in other ways. You help in other areas. What's the point I'm making? The point I'm making is stay engaged in your family. Stay engaged in your role that God has called you to. Lead by example. Lead by example. Show affection to your wife in front of the kids. Kiss them. Kiss your children. Hug your children. Tell them you love them. My wife and I, we grew up in homes. Now, granted, my grandparents were very loving. But growing up, the way we kind of grew up, as far as, you know, being showed love and hugged and kissed and all that, that really wasn't necessarily a part of, you know, my upbringing from a mom and dad. But we honestly made the determination. Hey, when we have kids, we'll change that. We'll break that cycle. We're going to show them that we love them. We're going to kiss them. My son Cameron's 6'12". I mean, he's huge. I'll still kiss him. He loves it. Toby walked up to me, gave me a hug today. Hey, happy Father's Day, Dad. You lead by example. With your wife, me and my wife, we joke all the time. My house is a household. We laugh all the time. We laugh with each other. We laugh at each other. Don't we, Wyatt? We have a lot of fun at our home. But my boys especially, if you have boys, my boys especially need to see how you treat a woman, how to properly treat them, how to show them love, I take Leslie on dates. I love to take Leslie on date. Once a week we date without hesitation. We do that. We dialogue daily. We date weekly. We depart. We try to do that twice a year to stay intentional in our relationship. You do know this as well, that the parent-child relationship is a temporary one. You say, preacher, tell my bank account that. No, it is. They're going to grow up. They're going to marry someone. Chances are. They're going to start their own families. And they'll be calling you for money all the time. No, they will. No, it's a temporary relationship. The Bible, though, teaches us and tells us that the husband and wife relationship is a permanent one. And it's to only be parted by death. Now, here's what happens if you're not careful. You can have parents who get so engulfed in the lives of their children. Here's the out of balance. They get so engulfed in the lives of their children that their children become their world to the detriment of their marriage. So when their kids are up and grown, and you've got 20, 25 years of marriage in, you now have an empty home, the empty nesters, right? And you have two people who have been married for 25 years, but they don't know each other any longer. They're two strangers living under the same roof because their life was absolutely wrapped around their children. You have to have balance. Dr. Warren Wiersbe says, blessed are the balance, and that's so true. So stay intentional. Lead by example. Show your boys. Show your daughter. Now, what does a little girl need? A little girl needs to be really loved on and shown affection. Take your daughter out on dates. Show her how a guy should treat a woman. Tell her you love her. Honestly, buy her things. A Mother's Day, buy her a rose. Buy her, you know, be intentional. When it comes to that, lead by example. We see him leading. We see him loving. We see him loving. He's a loving dad. Now, can you imagine? You got to flesh out the text in your mind. When the boy left home, he had it all. I mean, he had his cloak. He had Nike on his cloak, right? I mean, he had it. He had his Air Jordans on, right? He left home. He's got money in his pocket. But he didn't come home that way. Because the last time we saw him, he's in a hog farm, in a hog pen, coming to himself, rehearsing all that he had when he left his daddy's house. And now he said, I'm going to go home. So he goes home, and you got to grab a hold of this, and you got to flesh this in your mind. And my heart and prayer to God is that it now engages your senses, and it engages your nose, and you now can smell what he smells like. You can see what he looks like. He's filthy. You see, unlike Trey, who applied the dirt himself, this young man, he's filthy. And did you notice what the dad said? The dad turned to the servant and said, bring forth the best robe. Not just any robe, the best robe. Why in the world? You don't go to the store and buy new clothes, be all filthy and nasty and dirty, and then just put new clothes on that. You wouldn't do that. As a father, you do it if it's your son. This son, he's not just anybody. Oh, he doesn't look. Oh, this is good. You got to press in and hear this. This is a good statement. This may be worth the price of submission today. But at that moment, he doesn't look like a son. Doesn't matter. He's still a son. He was born to that guy. He was part of his family. You see, ladies and gentlemen, when I think of my God, that's what God does often in my life. There are times that I don't look like a son. There's times that I may not act like I belong to Jesus, that I don't look like I belong to Jesus. But the principle is this. God is a God that loves us unconditionally. That we can't, there's nothing that can separate us from his love. To you dads that are in the room today. When our kids do things that we don't necessarily agree with. Oh, this is a good word. When our kids break our heart. When our kids make decisions that are bad decisions and they suffer consequences for it, here's the word, here's a thought. Dad, this boy had a repentant heart. Dad, make it easy for them to come home. Make it easy for them to come home. Say, preacher, what do you mean by that? Here's what I mean by that. That dad didn't do, and thankfully didn't do, what some would have done. Just avoided him altogether. Give him the cold shoulder. I know dads that do that. I know of dads that have done that. You see, because there are several ways we can respond when there are situations that are conflict situations. We can blow up. That's not good. I'll tell you, you made your bed, you lie in it. Boy, I'm grateful to God that the Lord doesn't tell us that. Can I get a witness? Well, we can blow up or we can clam up. Not talk to him. Or with empathy, we can open up. We can open up and let them know that we're not condoning the behavior, but no matter what they do, they'll never have to worry if dad loves them or not. Bring forth the best robe. Put it on him. Can you imagine being a servant? Can you imagine being a servant? Can you imagine being the servant that goes and gets the robe? Charlie, what are you doing? Earl. What are you doing, Charlie? I'm getting a robe. That's not just any robe, man. That's the best one the master has. Yeah. Didn't you hear? The boys come home. The boys come home. Yeah. The boys. Master's son's come home. Yeah, he's come home. But he doesn't look. He's kind of dirty. So we're going to put this robe on him, and no doubt, this is so precious. No doubt we're going to put this robe on him. The best robe. And it's going to hide a lot of that dirtiness. You know, when the Lord saves us, he clothes us in his righteousness. We're clothed in his righteousness. We have the righteousness of God in our lives because of what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. Put the best robe on him. Put a ring on his hand. You see, he's loving. He's leading, but he's loving. He's loving. Let's finish it out and we're done. You see, the biblical example of a father, it's a tremendous example. They have a celebration. There's no doubt this boy's hungry. There's no doubt he's hungry. When Les and I first got married, we were poor as Job's turkey, man. I have no idea what that means. Must be pretty poor. It was not uncommon when we first got married to call my in-laws. And man, they were wise. They picked up on it right away. We'd call them. It was like, hey, how's it going? Oh, we're doing good. Hey, have you had dinner tonight? No. Hey, what are you guys having? Hey, and then they'd pick up and they're like, hey, why don't you guys come on over for dinner? Really? Well, praise the Lord. You see, so some things you don't have to pray about, man. When the father-in-law is cooking, you don't have to pray about that. You go. If the mother-in-law is cooking, you better pray about it. No, I'm just kidding. We have a lot of burnt offerings in our family. I'm just going to leave it at that. Burnt offering sacrifices. Look at this. And Dad, I'm going to ask you a personal question. Personal question. Answer that question in the quietness of your heart. Here's the question. What would be your response to a wayward child? What would be your response if this was your son? I'll tell you what, preacher. Big Rose used to say this. I'll write him off, honey, I'll tell you that. She never wrote anybody off. She used to say things like, honey, if anything happens to me, don't you tell. If they take me to the hospital, and then she'd start interjecting one of her kids' names. Don't tell Donna Ray. She'd be mad at Donald Ray, you know. Donna Ray was a baby, though. She never wrote anybody off. Verse 23. Bring hither the fatted calf. Kill it, let us eat, and be merry. This is a time for celebration. This isn't a time for lay the hammer down, lay the law down. You see, one of the worst things you can do to somebody that's wayward is start preaching at them and telling them they're wayward. They know they're wayward. They know they're not where they need to be. We need to give them a safe place to land. He goes on, he says, for this, verse 24, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they, you see that now they, don't miss this, they, look at it. They began to be merry. But the celebration started with the dad. The celebration started with the dad. And when the dad showed, by example, what it means to forgive, what it means to be compassionate, what it means to provide, what it means to be loving, when he demonstrated it, others followed. You see, Dad, what you don't realize, and perhaps you do, maybe you do, I hope you do, you're the thermostat in your home. You set the temperature. If Dad's in a bad mood, everybody's in a bad mood. If Dad's grouchy, chances are everybody's going to be grouchy. It's like the lady who called her and her friend, you know, her husband had been gone for a long time. So she calls her friend. She goes, "Hey, I need to go to the police department and file a missing person thing." You know, "All right, honey, I'll pick you up." So she picks her up. She takes her to the police station. Detective comes and sits down with him. She goes, "Yeah, this is my friend. Her husband has been gone for several days. We don't know where he's at. We're worried about him." He says, "All right, ma'am." He said, "Well, what's your husband's name?" Writes on the report. "Date, yeah, birth date, okay. What's he look like?" She tells. So then she starts. She goes, "Well," she said, "my husband," now mind you, her friend is hearing this the whole time. She said, "My husband is 6'4". He's 210 pounds, a solid muscle." He writes it down. He goes, well, you know, "What's his personality like?" "Oh, honey, he's the greatest thing in the world." She said, he loves me. She said, "You know, he provides for my family. He loves the kids. He comes home before he sits down. He makes dinner. And then after dinner, he cleans it up, does the dishes." Well, her friend is sitting next to her, and she's listening to this unfolding. She just looked at her perplexed. And finally, she looks at her and she goes, "Whoa, wait, detective, hang on a minute." She goes, "That's not your husband." And she looks at her friend. She goes, "You're right." She said, "But why would I want him back? I'm just going to tell him who I want to come home." Right? Why would I want him back? Dad, are you a calming presence in your home? Are you a calming presence in your family? Are you an example, a good example, for your children to follow? We talk about compassion. Are you compassionate? We talk about being forgiving. Are you forgiving? We talk about being someone that will open up. Now, let me just say this to you, and I hope you know my heart in this. I'm not saying you're a perfect person. There's none of us perfect. I've blown it. Goodness gracious. Don't amen that less. I've blown it. I've messed up many times. I've messed up when it comes to my kids. But what I try to do, if I've blown it, I honestly, God is my witness, what I try to do if I've blown it is go to my kids and say, "Hey, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that. I reacted in anger," and then I'll ask them this question. I do the same thing to my wife. If I've blown it, I try to go to her. I try not to let it fester, and I'll ask them this question. "Will you forgive me?" "Preacher, I would never do that. That's a sign of weakness." No, it's not, sir. No, it's not. It's a sign that, you know what? We're not perfect. And we blow it sometimes. And our kids, and you may not realize this, your kids know you blow it sometimes. Toby, don't amen that. But are you man enough and secure in your manliness enough to admit wrong? You see, because actions speak louder than words. It's parenting is more caught than it is taught, friend. Do you live like a king and a dictator? Or are you a loving individual? Are you a forgiving individual? Are you an individual that extends grace and mercy? Oh, wait a minute. When I think about those characteristics, I think about my Heavenly Father because He's all of those. He's loving, He's caring, He's forgiving, He extends mercy, He extends grace, and He does it as my Heavenly Father. Where are you at today, sir? Maybe you're here and you do not know Jesus. I'm convinced that the greatest thing that can happen in your home and for your children and for your wife is for you to trust Christ, for you to get born again. Maybe that's your decision. Maybe as a mom, maybe you're a lady here today. If you don't have Jesus, friend, please don't leave this room. Don't turn the TV off. Don't turn the internet off without trusting Christ. Give your life to Jesus. Ask God to forgive you of your sin and believe in your heart that Jesus died, was buried, rose again. He'll save you. He'll change your life. You say, preacher, man, you exposed some things in my life. I've never gone to my kids and asked for forgiveness. Listen, maybe today would be an encouragement for you to, if they're in your home, talk to them. Maybe they're moved away. Call them up. They're supposed to call me on Father's Day. Yeah, but you know what? It might surprise them if you were to call them and say, hey, I just want you to know, before you say anything, I've been thinking back on some things, and I'm calling to ask you to forgive me and whatever. You'll be surprised what God might do in your relationship. Let's all stand, please, for an invitation. If you're here today without Jesus, you've heard enough gospel to save a world. Trust Him. If you're here today, say, preacher, I know the Lord is my Savior, but man, I'm just eat up with guilt. I've made so many mistakes. I've made so many bad things and done so many things wrong. In front of my kids, in front of my wife, I just don't know that I could ever move on. Listen, God is a forgiving God. He'll forgive you. And chances are, you'll be amazed at what will happen in your family if you'll just get honest with yourself and get honest with them. Whatever it is, maybe you'd come and pray. Hey, this altar's wide open. As a man, that being a dad is not easy. We live in a culture that hates masculinity in men. It hates fathers as far as in the role that we have. It tries to downplay it. It tries to say it's not important. Well, the only problem with that ideology is this. God says it's important. God says your role is important. God says that what you do is vital to your home and to the next generation. You come. As we sing, what's your number?
312.
312. You come as we sing. I'll meet you at the front. You need to talk. You come.
I wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. The paths of sin.
Today. Thanks for coming. Good crowd. How many we have today, guys? 166. Thank you for coming, being a part of our service. Don't forget, no evening services tonight, so just make sure you make a note on that. Hopefully you'll spend time today this afternoon with your dad, with your families, whatever that is, and just enjoy your day. And Lord willing, we'll see you here Wednesday night. Don't forget, Wednesday night is the start of our soul winning campaign. 5 o'clock dinner to 5:45, and you can come in any of that window there. And then from 5:45 to 6:45, we'll go door knocking and invite people to church, tell them about Christ, and then we come back here and have our Wednesday night service. So, all right, those are a few announcements. I'll be gone next Sunday, so please pray for Leslie and I. We'll actually be down in Wilmington, Ohio. Brother Ryan will be preaching in my absence, but we'll be down there for Liz is getting married. So Pastor Fain and I will be officiating that wedding, and then I'll be preaching for Andy on Sunday. So just pray for us and just continue to just pray for one another. So those are the announcements. And again, any other thing to add, Brother Ryan?
Just one more thing as far as VBS coming up. We're looking forward to that.
Amen.
We are looking for donations for that, and that'll be a big help for candy and different things that we need. Just see me or Gina, and we can kind of get you a list and get you some things that we are in need of. But we do need some help there. And want to be a blessing to the kids, and we need your help. So we would really appreciate that. Maybe if you don't know what to get, of course, just money donation would be great. We can go out and buy the candy, buy the stuff that we need for it, and that'll really be a blessing. So please be in prayer about VBS as we really look forward to it. All right? I'll go ahead and have Brother Bill go ahead and close in prayer.